that's why these BRICS and these countries are getting together and saying, we need an alternative to the dollar. These guys are taking us to cleaners because we're loaning them money and they're paying us back with discounted dollars because they're inflating the dickens out of them. And that's the insidious tax of a government gone awry.
Yeah, and that's a hidden tax too, isn't it?
Yeah, because you don't really see it. You know, it's like I tell people, you may put that dollar in the bank, but the dollar you get back is a smaller dollar. It still looks the same. It still feels the same. It's just smaller.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Well, the economy, it's bleak. It doesn't look good. Things continue to deteriorate, and we've got the debt ceiling kabuki game dance going on right now. What is going to be the net result of all this? Well, hey, I'd like to know your opinion. Tell me what you think. Email me, kl@carrielutz.com. In the meantime, we got Brad Williams. You find him at askbradwilliams.com. Brad, economy, anything good to report?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, inflation seems to be slowing. Employment, still about 1.5 jobs per job seeker, and consumer spending positive. The problem is the underlying foundation, and that's where we have the real problem. I mean, when we have a chairman of the secretary of the treasury that doesn't see inflation coming, you know, that you said back in 2021, you kind of makes you scratch your head. When you print all the money, inflation's going to follow it. Period. And we're seeing that.
Wait. I thought there were two infallible people in the world, the Pope and the chairman of the Federal Reserve and the Secretary of Treasury. That's three people that never make mistakes. You're bursting my bubble here, Brad.
Well, when I hear you say, and three's probably appropriate because it reminds me of those monkeys that say, you know, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil, you know. We've got things are starting to dampen. Wage growth is slowing and labor demand is slowing. So, you know, it's not the job seekers market that it used to be, although, you know, it's still not bad. It's just you're not getting the raise you were. So people are, I think, starting to stay at their jobs more. So we're seeing some of that. But like what you said, you know, about all this debt ceiling kabuki, for a while back, I did this was back around 2017. I did a client dinner where I did what I call the tale of two budgets. And I said, you know, I preface it with your kid comes in, he's got a problem. And you're looking at his credit card debt and his spending every year and his income and all this stuff. And you're going over it and you're going over it in real numbers that you might see in a budget. And I said, would you bail this kid out? Well, no, I'd straighten his butt out and tell him he needs to get a handle on his spending and get out of debt. And then what I did was I flipped the page, Carrie. And I added all the zeros necessary to be the federal budget. And everybody was just kind of shocked, you know. And I said, so why are we lending people money there? You know, you can say spending like a drunken sailor on a shore leave, but at least he's spending his own money.
Yeah, well, that's an insult to all drunken sailors, really.
That's right. We see performing a valuable function.
If you had employees and all they did was lose money for you and all they did was make your company go further and further into debt. Would you keep those people around or would you like fire their asses?
You know, I think pink slips would be in the very near future. The problem is we have so many federal employees, not dissing federal employees, but the federal government doesn't have to turn a profit. So that's part of our problem is accountability and, you know, our congressmen and senators' greatest accomplishments getting reelected every 2 and 6 years.
That seems to be what they're more concerned about than anything else. They don't want the gravy train to end, just like anyone else out there,
exactly
right?
Right. Yeah, and then when you get people responsible that are saying, hey, we just can't keep spending this money. I mean, when you think of the fact we are $5 trillion in 2000 in national debt, And now we're 31, getting pushing 32 trillion. You know, that's why these BRICS and these countries are getting together and say, we need an alternative to the dollar. These guys are taking us to cleaners because we're loaning them money and they're paying us back with discounted dollars because they're inflating the dickens out of them. And that's the insidious tax of a government gone awry.
Yeah. And that's a hidden tax too, isn't it?
Yeah. Cause you don't really see it. You know, it's like I tell people, you may put that dollar in the bank, but the dollar you get back is a smaller dollar. It still looks the same. It still feels the same. It's just smaller. And so you don't get as much for it.
Yeah. So it goes less, right? Dollar is not going as far as it used to. We all know that, right?
Right.
So what do you do about it here? Because we don't have any control over our out-of-control federal government.
Well, I think probably on a micro level is really look at your spending patterns and what you're buying. I know a lot of people are cutting the cable off and things like that. When you look at the discretionary spending that people have today versus, say, you know, 30 years ago or 40 years ago, they're spending stuff on, they're spending money on the stuff that we'd spend money on 30 and 40 years ago. And it becomes a larger and larger portion of the budget. So you got to look at that and tighten that down. If you're getting close to retirement, you need to start thinking about de-risking your portfolio and looking more at income and looking at some of the safer alternatives to preserve your capital. You know, I had one guy come in this week and he was asking me, I got all this cash in the bank and you know, I'm afraid the banks are going to go under. And I was just wondering, should I take a bunch of that cash and put it in silver just as a hedge? And I said, well, what do you plan on doing with that money? And he said, well, in a year, we're going to use it for a house. And I said, well, last thing you want to do is pay an extremely high premium to buy a bunch of silver to protect it, you know, because they know what's going on with precious metals and the premiums you're getting on those. If you're going to buy them for emergency or for the, you know, for apocalypse, then who cares what you pay for it? You know, you'll have it when you need it. But the premiums on silver, especially now, are almost as much as a coin.
Right. Okay. So silver, gold, and what else can we do?
Well, looking at investments that provide you an income. You know, last year, techs were down. This year, they're up. A lot of other stocks, you know, you had, what, five or six stocks that really drove 60% of the S&P so far this year, mainly tech stocks. The key is, and if you're getting income from your investments, if you're getting a good dividend from your portfolio, then you can weather these storms if you're in it for the long term. If you're coming out of the accumulation stage and going into the distribution stage of life, i.e., you know, you're getting ready to retire and live off what you work for, then you need to start changing what you do, because the rules that you live by to get you where you are now are not the ones that are going to get you through.
Mm-hmm. All right. So different rules now govern a game.
Pretty much. If you look at it like a football game, you know, you go out, you're the coach, and you go out there and it's all sunny and you got this great passing game. You got a good passing quarterback and you want yardage. You want to put points on the board. Okay, great. Well, the second half rolls around and during halftime show, you got a downpour and now your field's just totally muddy. Well, that pass game's gone. You need a good running game and you need to grind that thing out and make sure you're getting yardage. And that's what in times like this, that's what you need to look at your portfolio. So this is not a time to go for big gains. This is a time for good income and steady growth.
So go for income, not gains, huh?
We'll have both, but preface setting even those gains on things that are going to provide you a good dividend.
All right. So, so income first and foremost, but the dividends yields on these stocks are not keeping up with inflation either.
Well, and you're going to have that problem right now. And so if you've got growth mixed in there and you're in the right stocks and you're in good companies, you'll weather the storm. Now, again, if you're right at retirement, you may look at other alternatives. And, you know, annuities are gaining great popularity now and for good reason. They're not for everybody and they're not the end all solution for everything. But a lot of what's said about them in the media is incorrect. And so looking at that might be a solution for you. And just looking at things not being all in one basket. Now, if you're 40 years old, this is a buying opportunity. When the market's going down, you want to buy more because you're buying things at a discount and you're not going to need it for a while. What I'm speaking at about income is those people that are, you know, say 55 and up that need to start transitioning out of their risk-based investments.
Right. All right. So it all depends upon your point in life that you are. You're the accumulation stage still, or at the point where you're going to have to stop accumulating and start spending your savings, right?
That's exactly right. Because you want to try to eat the egg and not the chicken.
Yeah, that's not always possible, though, especially with the way returns have been. I think the public at large and many of you out there got spoiled by these excessive rates of return that the stock market got the past 14 years. And now reality is starting to dawn on you.
Exactly. And if you look at, like you said, that's a great comment you made about the last 14 years. If you look at the market from 2013, because from 2000 to 2003, it dropped 50%, raised back up to 2007. 2007 and 9 dropped 60%. And then by 2013 or so, it was back to where it was in 2000. A lot of people are looking at these returns over the last 14 years from the bottom of 2009. Well, if you were in the market prior to that, you got to look at it from 2013. And the returns aren't as stellar. They were good, but they weren't as stellar as you look at from 2009. You know, the old saying, I mean, you got to look at the numbers don't lie, but you got to make sure you're looking at the right numbers. What is there? There's lies, there's damn lies, and there's statistics.
You know? Yeah, I think Churchill said that. That's true now more than ever. So when we have this conversation in a year, Brad, where do you think things are going to be at that point?
I think that really is going to depend on things like Ukraine, things like Taiwan, because being overly aggressive right now, we've got some geopolitical issues we haven't really faced in a long time. We're in one of those generational times where things can go pretty wildly in different directions. And so I think people need to play their cards close to their vest and pay attention.
Okay. I think we will leave it at that. Appreciate it. So we find you at askbradwilliams.com. Do I have that right?
That's right. If you got a financial question, just ask Brad Williams.
All right. And the link is in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. If you got a question for Brad, myself, kl@carrylutz.com. Make sure when you're at the site, you sign up for our free newsletter. Brad, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Carrie. Always a pleasure to be on.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.